Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
He said, I must preach the kingdom of God. When Zacchaeus was up in the tree and he told him to come down, what did he say? He said, I must eat in your house today. Not, I'd like to. Not it would be a good idea, Zacchaeus, but I must eat. There's some purpose in everything that Jesus did.
I was blessed to be back at my home church this past Sunday. I very much enjoyed my time in Arkansas, but it is always good to get back home, especially to your home church. In today's edition of Triumphal Feast, we will continue in our series, More About Jesus, with part one of the message, I Must.
Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. This morning we're going to begin in verse 41 and, with the Lord's help, finish out this chapter as we continue in our study of the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. It's been a few weeks since I've been able to speak to you on this subject, and I'm thankful to be back to it. And there's nothing better than coming back to this portion of Scripture right here, because we've been talking about the coming of Jesus, and we talked about his birth, and we talked about John the Baptist and other things around it. But this morning, the first words that the Holy Spirit caused men to record from our Savior are spoken. Okay? You know, very often people will talk about how important it is to listen to a man's last words before he dies. There's something very, very profound we're going to find in the first words of Jesus Christ that are recorded for us. Now, that's not the first thing he spoke, but you know what? If this is the first thing the Holy Spirit had men write down, this is the most important thing he's spoken so far. And we're going to find out that Jesus knew exactly who he was, that Jesus knew his purpose for being on earth, and even at the tender age of 12 years old, he declares that he must be about his Father's business. We find over in the book of Hebrews that the writer there says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners has spoken to us by the prophets, has now spoken unto us by his Son. You know, folks that only want to focus on the red words, well, here comes some red ones. But all of it is the Word of God. And may the Lord bless us this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. About 3 days' journey back to Nazareth. So they're about a third of the way home when they realize Jesus isn't with them. They're going to have to journey a day back and then look for him for a day, because here in a minute it says they found him 3 days later. Had to be a pretty distressing time for Mary as she describes that to Jesus. But here's what is going on in this scene. In the book of Deuteronomy and a couple of other places, the Lord commanded the children of Israel to gather, or in particular the men, the grown men in Israel, to gather themselves together three times of the year. One of them was the Feast of the Weeks, one of them was the Feast of the Tabernacle, and the other one is the Passover. Now, this was commanded of God that during those three festivals of the year, all of the Jewish males were supposed to come to Jerusalem and present themselves before the Lord in the temple. Notice I said those were commanded. What's pretty bad, though, is by this time, this was the only one that was being observed pretty regularly. The other two, some had come, but Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, says this was the big one. This is the one that everybody really fulfilled what they were supposed to do. And sometimes they would bring their families. It was voluntary for the women to be able to do it and the children to do it. There wasn't anything wrong for them to do it, but it was commanded that the adult males go. And so that's what's going on here, is Joseph is required to go to Jerusalem. He brings his wife Mary and he brings her son Jesus with them to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And it says that he was 12 years old. Now we're going to find out that Jesus is sitting amongst a group here in a little bit, and it's pretty important, but I want to speak to you for just a moment about that age 12. It's been kind of misconstrued by some folks that that set an age of accountability or something like that. Let me describe to you exactly what's going on here. First of all, David in the Psalm said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. By the inspiration of God, David says that when the moment of his conception, he was already a sinner and accountable to God. Okay? You don't become accountable at age 12, okay, or any other age. They point to this when they say, well, Jesus was taking responsibility. And that's what the Jews do today in their bar mitzvah. Well, first of all, that's age 13, not 12. And that practice didn't happen until a few hundred years after this date. That was not a practice going on at that time. The purpose of Luke recording the age 12 of Jesus is that he was young, but he was extremely wise at that young age. That's the reason he mentions the age. Well, first of all, because it was true. But I think the Holy Spirit knew we would wonder, what was it like for Jesus to be a child? And rather than giving us detail after detail after detail of the first 30 years of his life, we hear about him being born. We hear about him going down to Egypt. We hear about him coming back. And then we see him at age 12 already knowing who he is. So what do we need to know about the childhood of Jesus? He already knew who he was. Nobody had to teach him that he was the Messiah. Nobody had to teach him that he was the Son of God. He knew exactly why he was there from the youngest age. That's amazing, absolutely amazing. They'd fulfilled the days there. So they'd been in Jerusalem for 7 days. On the eighth day, they start heading back toward Nazareth. Long about nightfall on that first day, when they're stopping to bed down for the night, they get to look at among their kinsfolk and realize that Jesus is not there amongst them. Okay, this wasn't because of neglect. Okay, it was a regular practice of people at that time and today that large families and extended families would travel together. And as a matter of fact, there's a pretty good chance that all of the males of Nazareth traveled together all the way down to Jerusalem. So it's no surprise at all that a 12-year-old boy might go off with another group in that. We try to prevent that in my family. We do something when we get in the car called counting off. It starts with Rebecca. She says one, Gracie says two, Jonah says three, Luke says four, and since Asa hadn't figured it out yet, all of them say five, so that we know we have all five of them. Okay, if I've learned anything from my father being left behind at church meetings all the time when he was a kid, to try and keep up with them. But what happens here is not that there was some kind of neglect, it's just Jesus stayed back, and we're going to understand why here in just a moment. But Mary and Joseph did not know about that. When they realize it, they found him not. They turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And we'll pick up the account here in verse 46 now. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Yeah, that right there tells me that this wasn't just a normal 12-year-old becoming accountable to God. Because let me describe to you where he was. It says he's in the temple. Most likely, this was in a room on the north side of the temple. And it was where the Sanhedrin Council would meet. It was called the Hall of Hewn Stones. Now, what that meant was, the temple was built by God's instruction of stones that didn't have a man's tool markings on them. They just took stones of the proper size and they built the temple from that. But this room that was added onto the temple where the Sanhedrin court met was called the Hall of Hewn Stones. That's most likely where they were. And in this place, there were two groups that met. Both of them were called Sanhedrin. There was the greater Sanhedrin, which consisted of 71 men from all around Israel, that when there were huge cases that needed to be tried of a religious matter or a civil matter, they would bring it before this great Supreme Court. But there were also some lesser Sanhedrin courts, and that's what's going on here, because what's described is a question and answer teaching session. And here's how those would work. There were 23 men that sat in a semicircle. Okay? They sat in a semicircle. These were representatives from the major areas around Israel that came together for this teaching session. It was the smartest of the smartest from each of the cities. And interestingly, here's where they came up with the number 23. Okay? They took the number of spies that went into Canaan's land, which was 10. Okay? And they started there, that the minimum number that could make a decision was 10. Okay, now this is Jewish tradition. This is not Bible. This is just how they came up with this number. So they start with the number 10, and they doubled that because 10 was the minimum. And then they realize, okay, we've got 20. You could have a stalemate on every single discussion. So they decided that there needed to be more, and they didn't want just a regular majority, 21. They wanted a supermajority. They went to 23 people. That's where it came from. So you have these men sitting in a semicircle where they could all see one another. Then in front of them, there were three rows of students, doctors, scholars, professors. These weren't children. Okay, that's what's going to be so unusual about Jesus being there. These were the next smartest men in Israel, were seated in three rows in front of this council, 23 people per row. Okay, the smartest of the smart, and they're stating things from the Bible, and the men in the Sanhedrin were teaching, and the men sitting out there in the three rows were asking them questions and learning. It was a question and answer session, just like a regular discussion in a school. And what would happen is the most noted among the students would get to move forward and forward and forward and forward. So when Paul says he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, what that meant was he was sitting in the front row next to the teachers. The lesser students, the ones that hadn't progressed in the ranks yet, were sitting in that back row. Where do we find Jesus? Sitting in the midst of them. You know, that kind of amazes me. By the time that Mary and Joseph find him, they don't find him where a typical 12-year-old would be, which is what? Playing football out in the street. Okay? If they're typical parents, if I were to head back over to Fort Worth after going home, realizing we had left Jonah, the first place I would go would be the Cats baseball field. And then I'd go find another baseball field. I'd be looking for him playing ball with other boys his age. So that's most likely what they did, is looked for the kids running around the streets. They eventually find him in the temple. And they don't find him just kind of hanging out in the back. By the time they get there, Jesus has not only come out of the crowd, he's gotten himself, this is a 12-year-old boy now, he has gotten himself in the midst of these people. Started in that back row. And the kinds of questions that he was asking. And not only that, when they would ask him questions, the kinds of answers that he was giving, he's found in the midst of them, which means he's made his way all the way up to the front row. Okay, he's right there in the middle of the Sanhedrin court with the most noted professors of the law. And he's discussing with them, I can safely say at their level, but most likely above their level. At 12 years old, Jesus, I believe, was teaching in the temple because they were amazed at what he said. Picking up now at verse 48. How would your mom respond if she hadn't seen you for 3 days? Now, his adoptive father didn't respond. But I can tell you, If I hadn't seen Jonah for 3 days, how my reaction was being. It's probably good that we have Mary's reaction here. Tenderness. Look at the tenderness of what she says. And when they saw him, they were amazed. They were amazed at where he was and what he was doing. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. She said, Son, I was scared out of my mind. Your father and I have been worried sick. The first words we have recorded of Jesus are a response to his earthly mother. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? First of all, he says, How is it that ye sought me? Meaning, why were you worried about me? He's not asking, why were you looking for me? Because that's what a parent does. So he's not saying, well, why were you looking for me? I mean, I'm 12 years old. I can take it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, how is it? How is it that you are so concerned about my well-being? The first words out of our Savior's mouth that we have recorded is to his mother and his adoptive father saying, why were you worried? Don't you know about the providence of God? You should have never been concerned about me. I don't know how much Jesus remembers of when he was a baby and things like that. We don't know how that works, how God came down and was born of a woman. But no doubt he at least knew about the fact that the angel had spoken to Joseph when he was probably under 2 years old and sent him down to Egypt. The Lord was taking care of us then. Why are you concerned now? That's what he's saying. You didn't need to be worried, Mom. Here's the key to what his answer is. I've been about my father. You know, I don't think Mary forgot how Jesus was born. But Jesus reminds her and Joseph that he has a father that's not of this world. He said, I must be about my father's business. Let's look at this again. How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? So don't you understand where I'm at? I'm in my father's house now. Y'all have trained me to be a carpenter, but I have been training to be in my father's business, and it's time I got to work today. But also notice the way he says it, that I must be about my father's business. He didn't say, I think it's a good time to try this out a little while. He didn't say, well, I kind of need to be doing this. He said, I must be about my father's business. I'm only going to name a few statements that Jesus made throughout his earthly ministry. You can probably come up with countless more, though, about the purpose that Jesus had and the way he said things and the way he did things. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God. When Zacchaeus was up in the tree and he told him to come down, what did he say? He said, I must eat in your house today. Not I'd like to. Not it would be a good idea, Zacchaeus, but I must eat. There's some purpose in everything that Jesus did. He said the sacrifice must be accomplished in me. I don't think we'd have a problem with that one at all. We need the sacrifice given for us. Later on, he said, I must work the work of my Father. Now, that upset some folks because he had just healed somebody. And he'd done some things on the Sabbath day that they said, you should not have done that. even when he is baptized of John, he said, this becometh us. Meaning, this must be done to fulfill all righteousness. When his disciples and his brethren didn't want him going through Samaria, what did he say? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He knew what was going to happen to him there. He knew he was going to be rejected. He knew he was going to be homeless while he was there. But he said, I must needs go. And then he said, I must needs go to Jerusalem. And his brethren said, no, Lord, you have this power. Why don't you just cast down fire from heaven and just consume all these folks that are trying to kill you? He said, I must needs suffer. I think that is the main point of Jesus' ministry to us, is what he must do and the kind of attitude that we should have.
I hope this message has been a blessing to you. Please join us again next time as we conclude the message, I Must. Until then, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.